In John chapter 14, verse number 6, the Lord Jesus saith unto him, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father, unto the Father, but by me. Here Thomas is at hand, and the Lord has told him about he's going away. He's going to prepare a place. He's told them in the first verse to not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And the reason that is because he is the manifestation of God. Jesus is. He is the showing of God. He is the revealing of God. You see, God in a body, it's Jesus Christ. That is Jesus Christ. And he's going to prepare a place. Thomas is confused. He says, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And the Lord, and we've looked at this, the Lord Jesus says, I am the way. And you know the way. If you know me, okay, and that's what he's declaring unto them. Philip goes on about asking the Lord Jesus to show the Father. And the Lord says to him, haven't I been with you? Have I not been with you this time? He says, have I been so long time with you? Verse 9, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Oh, it's the Lord has just impressed upon me so the need and just the understanding. We need to have a sober understanding, a sober outlook of how this is that we walk with the Lord Jesus. And if the Lord saved your soul, you have the Lord Jesus, and he has you, and you can walk with him. You are to walk with him. And to know him, he says in Matthew 11, learn of me. I advise each and every person that I know about that's just recently saved that they need to learn about their Savior. How much do you know about your Savior? How much is it that you know about the Lord Jesus? The Lord impressed the brethren that he used to inspire the Word of God and the Gospels, as we call them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's what Jesus did to save your soul. And you need to know about him. Not be disassociated from him. Not think and consider he's off somewhere a long way away. If you're saved, he's in your heart. And you need to know about him. You need to know about him so that you might be helped. And you and I need to know about him so we can be a witness to others. Otherwise, we're a vessel that's saved, we say, but we're not filled up with much if we don't know about our Lord Jesus to be able to tell others about him. Jesus saith unto him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We want to focus on that this morning, where the Lord Jesus says, I am the life. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you in prayer at this time, Lord, remove the thoughts of this world and the cares of this life from our hearts and minds. Help us, Father, to put all that stuff out of our hearts and minds. Help us, Father, take that away from us. Help us to focus upon your word. Help us to focus upon the Lord Jesus. Help us, Father, to focus upon you and what you have to say to us. Lord, take me out of the way and just speak to us through your word. Help us and bless us this morning. Father, for your people, we might be strengthened and encouraged in you. We might rejoice in you more and be a good witness of you and what you've done for us to others. Father, for those that are here without Christ, Father, we pray that you'd save them and visit them. Show them the reality of their sin and the condemnation that's upon them. Show them their doom and destruction and hell without Christ. Show them, Father, Jesus Christ. Make him precious to the salvation of their souls. Lord, they might come to you in repentance and faith. Lord, you'd save them as you only can. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here Jesus says to our brethren and to us, I am the life. We've got two major points for the message this morning in consideration of the life. I haven't seen this in the Scripture before as I have more recently. You know, and I've mentioned this to you and may even preach a message about it, and I'm mentioning it, but this word thee. This word thee, and I think if I dig back into the little bit of English that I paid attention in, it's an article, thee. Thee. The importance of that word, thee, and the use of that word in the Scripture, thee. And it's not saying, when the word thee is being used in context of the Lord and in this context of the Scripture, and those references, I trust you know about those, where it says that Jesus is the Savior of the world, okay? And we understand things about, I trust we do understand about that. It's not talking about that the Lord Jesus is going to save everybody. He's not going to save everybody. Well, what about me, you would say? Well, the Lord's message to you is repent and believe the gospel. Okay? But the Lord Jesus is not going to save everybody. He didn't save Pharaoh. He didn't save Cain, according to what we understand about the Scriptures. But praise God, He comes and He saves sinners. I praise God that you're here this morning again to hear the preaching of God's Word. Understand that many are called, but few are chosen. And you and I need the Lord. So when it's talking about the Savior of the world, it's not talking about that He's going to save everybody. But you know what? If anybody's going to be saved, it's going to be by Him. And you and I need Him. We need Him more than we need anything else in this existence that we have. We need, you need the Lord Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. And so as we've looked at and considered in these messages, when Jesus says, I am the way, He's the only way. When you're talking about life, when you're talking about living, when you're talking about living this life with some blessing and going on into eternity and having life there, Jesus is the way. There's no other way. When you look at in the world and you see about ways, oh yeah, there are others that you and I can go down, and that broad way will let you do anything you want. Oh, that broad way exists. But when we're talking about life, when we're talking about salvation, when we're talking about health, comfort, peace with our God, there's only one way, the way. And that's Jesus. And this, He goes on to say, and we've looked at this last time, He is the truth. Jesus' very existence, and Jesus coming as a man, and Jesus being the Savior, and Jesus fulfilling the gospel, it tells the truth about everything. Because it was necessary for Him to do what He did. And praise God, He has done it. Amen? He is the truth. And so when we consider about this, He is the life. Jesus is the life. And we got two major points with this message this morning, and there's other things that maybe we'll take a look at here in the future. But two points we want to consider in knowing and seeing and looking about Jesus being the life, that Jesus is the life. Present tense. Number one, that following Jesus is life. I'll say it again. Point number one, following Jesus is life. And then number two, His life for ours. His life for ours. I am the life, the Lord Jesus Christ says. In Matthew chapter 7, here in the gospel, we see this. The Lord Jesus here on the Sermon on the Mount, and He says here in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 14, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Brother Doug mentioned about the remnant. That's always the way it is with the Lord. It's a remnant. It's few. Compared to the population of the world, compared to the population of countries, compared to the population of states and cities, and there's few that find that narrow way. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Listen, what does it say? Which leadeth unto life. Jesus says, I am the life. A few chapters over here in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. The Lord Jesus says here as He's teaching and preaching He says here in verse number 39 of Matthew 10, listen, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. The Lord goes ahead and clarifies this in chapter 16. I think it makes it more clear. It's another mention of it. Or it's a reiteration of it. And then we're going to go to the book of Mark. And Mark chapter, or Matthew chapter 16, verse number 25, nearly the same thing he says. And this is important. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And chapter 10, 39, he says, findeth. Whosoever will save his life, save it for himself, try to save it himself. I think there's many applications that could be considered with that. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But listen to what he says here, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Jesus says, I am the life. If we take this life, this physical existence that we have, and we take it and we just use it for ourselves to please ourselves and to pursue after self and the way of the world, you know what? In the end, we're going to lose our life. Because there's a life that's more important than our life. Isn't that something? Well, we value life. We are made and created to live. We have it within us to hang on to life and to want to live. That's a virtue that the Lord's given us in His creation of us. But you know what? We don't need to take our life and hold it to ourselves. Remember, this point is following Jesus is life. Following self is death. In Mark chapter 8, and these same references that we read in Matthew, parallel to that. In Mark chapter 8, verse number 35, the Lord Jesus, it's rendered this way, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life, Mark 8, 35, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. That's self. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Here we have even a greater expansion upon that. Whosoever will take his life and lose it for the Lord. And understand, when we talk about obedience of the Lord and losing our life for the Lord, it's talking about everything that goes with the Lord. Why did Jesus come? To give himself a ransom for many? You know what? For us to lose our life for the Lord, we have to receive that. A sinner, and this isn't talking about earning your salvation and working your salvation. This is talking about receiving Christ in every way. Receiving Him in His person. Receiving Him in His work. Receiving Him in His promises. Receiving Him in His doctrine. We must receive the Lord in every way that He comes to us, that this book reveals to us. We must receive Him in every way. Not lose our life our way. But we must see and know that He is the life. I am the life, the Lord Jesus says. He says, whosoever shall lose his life, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever should lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the gospel. What is the gospel? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I've got to say no to self before I'll receive and join and agree with the gospel. I can't be saying yes to me and receive the necessity of the gospel. I've got to say no to me. I've got to say I'm wicked, I'm sinful, I deserve to go to hell. But by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am saved. He said, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Why? Because Jesus says, I am the life. It says in Luke chapter 17, verse number 33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. I'm looking for ways. I'm looking for ways. I'm looking for ways. I'm looking for ways that make sense to try to save my life, to use my life for myself, to earn my own salvation. Luke 17, 33, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. And lose our life in Christ. Following Jesus is life. And we're not just talking about, I'm not talking about the Lord said this and you do it. The Lord said that and you do it. And you observe the commandments and you'll be saved. I'm not talking about working for salvation. I'm talking about receiving Christ, everything about Him. And that includes the gospel. That includes the reason Jesus came. Because, see, understand, the Lord Jesus Christ is life. In Matthew chapter 19, we see here about a man, and he was very concerned about eternal life. Life. In Matthew chapter 19, we pick it up in verse number 26. This man comes to the Lord Jesus, and he says, and the scripture says, and behold, one came unto him saying, came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He's doing like what we read in Luke 17. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. Okay? What good thing? What good thing? Tell me if I'm missing any good thing. Right? He says, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Jesus does, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. They don't tell the gospel, but they point to a necessity of hearing the Lord. He saith unto him, which? You can put an emphasis on something. So, because I'm looking for one good thing. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Keep the commandments. He saith unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And notice the Lord referenced all those that have to do with people. That's interesting. The young man saith unto him, verse 20, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Because see, he was still empty. He was still undecisive. He was not assured in what he had. He's trying. He said, I've kept all that. And we know that he couldn't have, but he believes that he has. And listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Jesus says, I am the life. Jesus said unto him, verse number 21, if that will be perfect. You want to be complete? That's what that word perfect means here. You want to be complete? You want to be made whole? Isn't that the word that the Scripture uses when the Lord Jesus Christ heals? He made them whole. That's what the Lord Jesus does when He saves a sinner. He makes them whole in Him. He says, if thou will be perfect, if thou will be complete, if thou will be whole, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. And listen to what it says, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. You'll have treasure in heaven because you know what? This will be what's happening in your life, and this will be the continuance of your life. And come and follow me. You want to be whole? Follow Jesus. You want to be complete? Follow Jesus. He said, come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The stuff was too heavy on his heart and his mind. He said, I can't go there. I like how it talks about this occasion here in this account in Mark chapter 10. Take a look over here. Let's look at the wording here. Mark chapter 10, verse number 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, that is Jesus, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked, this man is reverend indeed, good master, rabbi, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What can I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. You know the commandments. Keep those. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. And we know what the account said over there. He said, it's not enough. I'm not assured. I do those things, but I'm not helped. He said, he's come to him. He's bowed and kneeled to the Lord. And listen to what it says. I enjoy this, that this is a blessing. I wonder about this man. The scripture says here, he says, I have observed from my youth. And the Lord looks on him and sees indeed that he is lacking. Well, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And that's that word loved, if my memory serves me correctly. I didn't look it up to be sure in that. But that word loved is not talking about friendship. It's talking about one of those forms of agape love. The Lord, Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. One thing thou lackest. He said, as the scripture said over there in Matthew, if thou will be perfect, if thou will be complete, if thou will be whole, he says here, one thing thou lackest. You're just missing one thing. Listen to what he says. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, because you know what will be at hand? You know what will be at hand if you obey me in this? You will be doing this. Take up the cross and follow me. You lack me. You lack me. Jesus says, I am the life. One thing thou lackest, the Lord Jesus, following Jesus, the consideration of the life, the Lord Jesus, he says, I am the life. And in considering about those two words, the life, following Jesus indeed is the life. Jesus, following Jesus is life. He says, he's the way, he's the truth and the life. You and I need him. Sinner here without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, I hope you know that you're a sinner and on your way to hell. I pray that you do know that, because you are. Whether you believe it or receive it or not, it's the truth. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death indeed. And you're on your way to hell. But you know what? There's forgiveness and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the life. And following him and everything he says, namely that you, sinner, you lack him and you need him. Repent of your sins and trust in him. The first point is there, following Jesus is life. The second point is this, and we want to consider this morning, is his life for ours. How is it that Jesus can be a Savior? How is it that Jesus is the life? When you're talking about life, Jesus is the only one that is life. In Matthew chapter 20, a few pages back, take a look over here. Consider this scripture. In Matthew chapter 20, verse number 28. Matthew 20, verse number 28. The scripture says, and the Lord Jesus speaking, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, he's teaching his disciples about ministry. He says, I have called you to be a minister unto folks like I have been and am a minister to folks. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus and what he's called us to do. Oh, there are blessings and there are benefits. But how is it with you, child of God, member of Olmsted Baptist Church? Are you a servant or are you one that desires to be served? We all need times when we need help, indeed. But what are we called unto? It says here, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, listen, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus says, I am the life. And you know why it is that Jesus is the life? Because he took his life and gave it for ours. You're here and saved. You know that Jesus laid down his life. His very alive, physical life, he laid it down so that you might live. Jesus is the life. He came and gave his life a ransom for many. I want you to hold that thought, to give his life a ransom for many. Hold that thought. In John chapter 1, look at this about what John says. And I tell you why, I've wondered and know it's true, but the Lord, I believe, helped me here with this and understanding about more about what this is talking about. I've wondered about this, and I know that it's so, and have seen it maybe in other facets, but never considered it this way. In John chapter 1, verse number 14, the Apostle John, being touched by the Lord, writes this, "And the Word was made flesh," that is, Jesus came and became a man, "and dwelt among us, and we he beheld his glory," the glory is of the only begotten of the Father. He marvels at that. Said, "We saw him. Yeah, he was with us, and we enjoyed it." And listen to what it says, "full of grace and truth." The Lord Jesus, John says, he's full of grace and truth. The cup, if you will, just in a matter of speaking, a matter, try to wrap our minds around it. The cup of the Lord Jesus is full of grace and truth. All at the same time, grace, favor, that word favor, is full of favor and truth. In this same chapter, verse number 17, the scripture says, "For the law was given by Moses, comma." And that's what Moses got. He got some promises. But the law came by Moses. The Lord gave Moses the law, moral law, ceremonial and sacrificial law, all of it pointing to Christ, Jesus being the answer for it all. He's the end of the law for every one of us that believes, right? The scripture says. "For the law was given by Moses," but listen to this, "but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Remember, I told you, hold that thought in Matthew 20:28, to give his life a ransom for many. Hold that thought. Jesus came, and he is full of grace and truth. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 18. You want to know what the truth is? You want to know about the law that Moses was given? You want to know... You and I want to know about how it is with sin and what God requires. Brother Doug mentioned this morning, the Lord doesn't let sin pass in any way. And you want to know what the cold, hard facts of the law is? Well, it's mentioned right here. It's told right here in Ezekiel chapter 18. Listen to what the truth is. Jesus is full of grace and truth. Jesus came to give his life a ransom for many. And you know what the truth is? Verse number 4 of Ezekiel 18, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." That's the truth. You know what? That's all the law can do for us. Sinners die. That's the end of it. Sinners die. In this same chapter, in verse number 20, we read very much along the same line, "The soul that sinneth," in Ezekiel 18:20, "the soul that sinneth, it shall die," period. "The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Period. That's the truth. The law came by Moses, and there we are. Just the law in and of itself, nothing else added, nothing else said. We're done. Sinners die. And we're all in that boat, aren't we? We're all sinners. And no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, you're a sinner. And sinners die. But you know what? John writes and he marvels. And I think as he's writing there and as the Lord blesses him with that, he's got a smile on his face. When he sees the Lord Jesus, he says, "We beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The truth is that sinners die. But you know why? Jesus came. Hang on to Matthew 20:28, to give his life a ransom for many. His life for ours. He's full of grace and truth. All the truth still stands that sinners must die. But you know what? Not only is Jesus full of the truth, but he is also full of grace. He's full of favor. And that's the reason he came. To give his life a ransom for many. His grace, the grace, the favor that Jesus is full of, is that he gave his life for us. In John chapter 15, in John 15 here, between the upper room and Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus Christ says here to his disciples and says this to us. I hope this is a familiar passage to you. John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." The favor, the grace of the Lord Jesus. All sinners must die. Sin must be paid for. But you know what Jesus was willing to do? Jesus was willing to come down, set aside his glory, become a man, and die in the stead of sinners. The truth is still at hand. He pays for the sin. But then his favor is bestowed, and that righteousness, that gospel, that completing of that work of salvation is given unto sinners. His life for mine. Remember, he's the life. He is the life. His life for you. In John chapter 3, verse number 16, you know this, and it's here, and it's so familiar, it becomes unfamiliar to us. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." How can they not perish? How is it that they can have everlasting life? It's because the Lord gave his Son. He's full of the truth. He knows that sinners must die. But you know what? He stepped in there and took that death. Paid that price, and then bestows salvation upon sinners. His life for ours. Following Jesus, his life, was our first point. Our second point, his life for ours, and the Lord Jesus gave his life for sinners. In John chapter 10, a wonderful passage here that the Lord speaks about the sheepfold. And in verse number 11, the Lord Jesus says this, "I am the good shepherd," and indeed he is, "that great shepherd of the sheep." The brethren declare, "The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." His life for mine. His life for yours. In verse number 15, "As the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." Tell you what, it's good to be one of the Lord's sheep. He gave his life for me. He gave his life so that I might live. He took my death and he died my death for me, and then somehow took that and applied that to my account. And because he is everlasting life, because death couldn't hold him, he rose from the dead. And you know what? Because he lives, I live. Because he lives, you live. Because Jesus says, "I am the life." And it is true. Indeed, he is. In verse number 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again." Not only did he die for us, as I just mentioned, as the Scripture tells here, but with his great power, His great ability, His great authority, His greatness and majesty and wonder. Even though He was dead, He took His life back again. Somehow, He died for me and imputed that to me. Somehow, He died for you, if you're here and saved. And He imputed that to you so that you will not have to die. Oh, yeah, these old bodies are going to die. But we're looking at God's big picture, the eternal picture. This old sinner is only going to die once, not twice, not eternally. But this body's going to pass on that I might get a better body, a glorified body like the Lord's. And Jesus took care of that other death for me. His life for me. He is the life. In Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, let's take a look here. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20, let's read what it says. Here to the churches of Galatia, the Apostle Paul writes, and this verse says, he says in this verse, listen to this. This is what the Lord has done for us. This is how we are saved. This is how what baptism tells about it, about what is done and how we identify with Christ in this. So a lot of things rolled up here. He says in Galatians chapter 2, this is the way it is with we that are saved. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Jesus says, I'm the life. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Listen to this. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Jesus says, I'm the life. I am the life. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Jesus is the life. And He is my life by faith. I wasn't there 2,000 years ago. But you know what? I believe that He died for me. I wasn't there when He inspired the Scriptures, but I know that they are truth and they tell me indeed that I am the most wicked sinner that there is. And I deserve to be in hell for an eternity, separated from God, separated from life, separated from every good blessing of God. That's what I deserve. But you know what? Jesus died for me that I might live. Jesus died for me to pay for my sins. He is full of truth. And praise God, He's full of grace. And He has bestowed this upon me. He's bestowed this upon you. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 16, I find it interesting that it works out this way in the division of our King James translation of the Scriptures. But nevertheless, it is. And it's good. In 1 John chapter 3, verse number 16, hereby perceive we. This word perceive is talking about, you know how you, if you're not colorblind, you look on at these pews and you perceive. You look by your eye gate and you see that they're not red, not purple, kind of maroon. You perceive that. You perceive a vehicle is coming down the road, maybe because you see it or because you hear it. Okay, we're looking on at something, or we're hearing something. We're making observation with the senses when we're talking about physically, and from that we understand something. I perceive that when a vehicle's coming down the road, especially these big grain trucks, that if I don't get off the road, they might mash me flat. Right? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. Jesus says, I'm the life. I am the life. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And we, His children, ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. A lot was talked about that in the conference there at Salem this weekend. A lot of good things. Maybe you can even seek to get those messages and make them available to you. There are good messages that the Lord blessed our brethren with. As a side note, are we as a children of God, are we willing to lay down our lives for the Lord? Are we willing to lay down our lives for one another? Jesus, who is the life, he says, I am the life. He laid down his life for us. I am the life. Following Jesus is life, and indeed it was his life for ours. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.